Hello, and welcome to the West Valley News Digest. I'm Gayla Weigel Robinson, your volunteer reader. I start off with news from the West Valley View, the newspaper of Avondale, Buckeye, Goodyear, Litchfield Park, and Tolleson. Approximately 20 minutes after the hour, I'll read from the Wickenburg Sun, and around the half hour, I'll read news from Glendale, Peoria, and Surprise. Some of those news stories I'll be reading: Buckeye modifies partnership for buses. Guitar master Jesse Cook returns to the Webb Center. New AG homicide unit focuses on Apache Junction, Glendale, Goodyear cold cases. New on-demand shared ride service now available in Peoria. Surprise Library Group awards nearly $29,000 in school grants. Our first news stories then come from the West Valley View, January 8th print edition. Buckeye Modifies Partnership for Buses by Alicia Vetner, West Valley View staff writer. The City of Buckeye is continuing its partnership with the Regional Public Transportation Authority, or RPTA, or Valley Metro, through June 30th for the Avondale-Buckeye Express and Ajo-Gila Bend bus routes, amending the agreement due to changes to the latter's costs. The amended agreement, approved by the Buckeye City Council last month, requires the City of Buckeye to pay $54,663 for the provision of the Ajo-Gila Bend bus routes, or Route 685. Route 685 extends from Desert Sky Mall in Tolleson to the Ajo Transportation Center. In total, the route from beginning to end covers over 100 miles and takes several hours to complete. However, Valley Metro provides bus route services for 4 short trips along the existing path of Route 685. The costs are a local match. Meanwhile, the Valley Metro Rural Route 685 aims to maintain its partnership with the City of Buckeye by providing bus route services for 4 short trips along the existing path of Route 685. These 4 stops, per the drafted Transit Services Amendment, are Buckeye Community Center, 201 East Center Avenue, Estrella Mountain Community College, Yuma Road east of Watson Road and Yuma Road west of Watson Road, Coyote Branch Library, 21699 West Yuma Road. These payments are divided into 12 monthly installments of $4,555.25. All bus fare costs are established by Valley Metro, and the city does not handle any cash from the fares. The city is, if applicable, responsible for routine vehicle maintenance, such as oil changes. The agreement also provides flex stop service. An individual may request to be picked up or dropped off at a location not along the regularly designated bus route that is within 3/4 of a mile of the regular route. These stops must be requested a day in advance. The Avondale Buckeye Express, or Valley Metro Rural Route 563, is a service for residents at no cost to Buckeye. The Valley Metro funds its fixed services, including the express buses, in entirety, and the bus includes 4 stops between 18th Avenue and Jefferson Street in Phoenix and the Buckeye Park and Ride, and it operates on weekdays only. Transit systems offer a handful of benefits to the city, the council action report stated. These include economic boosts, enhanced livability and sustainability, improved air quality, and reduced traffic congestion. That was Buckeye Modifies Partnership for Buses. Our next story from the West Valley View: Inflation Hits Buckeye Fire Department, by Alicia Vetner, West Valley View staff writer. Inflation is hitting the city of Buckeye like any other group in the country, forcing its fire department to up its not-to-exceed amounts by over $2 million across several cooperative contract purchase addendums for the purchase of equipment. The city council approved these contract amendments and a new cooperative contract purchase addendum during its December city council meeting. The not-to-exceed amounts set a price ceiling in contracts, establishing the maximum amount that the client will spend on something. As such, the council did not approve the purchasing of any gear or equipment during the meeting. It only increased the maximum amount of money that can be spent through the contract's life. Through this approach, the fire department does not need to return to the city council at a later date. The contract will be in place to allow for purchase orders to be issued as soon as funds are available to expedite the purchase process and allow apparatus to be placed in service as soon as possible, a council action report said. The first cooperative contract purchase addendum amendment approved by the city council is with Matlick Enterprises Incorporated, increasing the not-to-exceed amount from $500,000 to $900,000. This increase will allow for budgeted purchases for fiscal year 25 and equipment for new and replacement apparatus. The purchase made on this agreement in the last fiscal year totaled $315,000, leaving only $185,000 available for this fiscal year. The additional funding will allow for purchases not to exceed the $585,000 budgeted amount. Similarly, the city approved changes to the cooperative contract purchase addendum with Motorola Solutions, increasing the not-to-exceed amount from $540,000 to $840,000 for fiscal year 2025 purchases and equipment. The city approved an increase in the not-to-exceed amount in its contract with Municipal Emergency Services from $225,000 to $325,000 for the purchase of self-contained breathing apparatus for new and replacement apparatus, and another cooperative contract purchase addendum with the entity from $225,000 to $575,000 for personal protective equipment. The not-to-exceed amount for another cooperative contract purchase addendum with Municipal Emergency Services increased by $500,000 for the purchase of firefighting equipment. The final amended cooperative contract purchase addendum approved by the city was with C. Western Incorporated for firefighting equipment and increased the not-to-exceed amount from $225,000 to $800,000. However, the city also approved a new cooperative contract purchase addendum with Stryker Sales, LLC, to purchase EMS supplies, maintenance services, and equipment, including cardiac monitors for new and replacement apparatus. The agreement establishes the not-to-exceed amount at $400,000. These contracts establish agreements with suppliers for equipment, products, and services, and have various end dates. The Buckeye Public Works Fleet Division can also use several of these contracts for fire apparatus that falls within its budget. That was Inflation Hits Buckeye Fire Department. Our next article, ADOT Cultivates Youth Engagement, by John Sanders, West Valley View staff writer. Over the years, the Arizona Department of Transportation has offered activities and programming for Phoenix area youths throughout its website, azdot.gov/adot-kids. Children and their families can comb through each section, which covers different aspects of urban development and planning. There are sections for biology, bridges, dust storms, engineering as a career, freeway design, litter, road signs, safety, snow plows, and Zoom backgrounds. Marie Curie, communications program manager for ADOT, said the programming was created during the COVID-19 pandemic to help youngsters stay connected despite social distancing. We also wanted to try to fuel interest in transportation careers, Curie added. We started offering activities and blogs, especially during the summer months when kids would be out of school. This continued over the years, and we started a site to house all the content we created. That's where we share our new activities. One of the things that intrigues me is that we have a lot of engineers. One of the categories on our site is engineering. You can read about civil engineering, roadway engineering, and all the different types of careers in engineering that you might be interested in looking into. It explains a little bit about each one of them. We also offer some activities for kids so they understand a little bit about what goes into things, like bridge creation. We've got one nice video with one of our engineers explaining what that takes through the day and how engineers construct our bridges. Curie works with ADOT colleagues Audrey St. Clair and Bill Lamreau on forming the right activities to feature on the site and contribute to educational blogs. It is exciting to work together, Curie said. We always have blogs going out. We'll have to see what the new year brings. We have fun things planned, like license plate bingo. That's always fun, and that seems to be popular each year. We put out challenges like the ADOT Highway Program as one of the first activities for the public. It challenges kids to draw the Arizona Keep It Grand logo that you can find on the site, and it was a sidewalk talk challenge. We invited kids to send us their drawings and posted them on our site. We also created a video about the contest and shared some of the drawings the kids sent. We have a yearly message sign contest where kids write a safety message suitable for one of the overhead message boards. She said there is no shortage of ideas given the career and position diversity within ADOT. We have everyone from biologists to freeway designers, Curie said. There are always problems like litter, which we're challenged with. We try to tap into each of our groups and look at what they do to see if there's a way that we can turn that into something interesting for kids to look at. The process is all about interactivity, and we want to encourage creativity and exploration. We've got mazes, crossword puzzles, scrambled words, and colorings that tap into some of the language we use for bridge building. Last summer, I worked with one of our biologists to create a blog about special flower seeds we spread along the roadsides in areas to help pollinators like the monarch butterfly come back. This focus on interactivity will continue into the year, and Curie hopes more people will learn about ADOT. We're focused on interactivity and like to draw in adults or parents to work with their kids on these items, Curie said. For example, a recent activity featured a map and travel system matching game to help kids, and maybe adults, learn what each icon means. You choose a photo of the icon and what it means. Afterward, people will hopefully understand the AZ-511 site better and how to navigate it. To learn more about ADOT Kids Programming and Activities, visit azdot.gov/ADOT-kids. Look for the ADOT Kids Podcast at azdot.gov/podcast. That was ADOT Cultivates Youth Engagement. Next, January West Valley Events by Alicia Ventner, West Valley View staff writer. The new year has just begun, and several organizations and municipalities across the West Valley are already back in action. Here are a few events happening in Avondale, Buckeye, Goodyear, and Litchfield Park. Litchfield Park Gathering from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. Saturday, January 11th and Sunday, January 12th at 101 West Wigwam Boulevard, Litchfield Park. It is free, and for more info, go to litchfieldpark.gov. Native American artists and artisans from across the Southwest are set to participate in this year's Litchfield Park Gathering, a free award-winning festival starting Saturday, January 11th. Art will be on display and for sale during the weekend and will include a selection of traditional and contemporary jewelry and beadwork, kachinas and pueblo carvings, paintings and prints, pottery and sculptures. There also will be live performances and artist demonstrations. Free Arts in the Park Concert, Pebble Rock, from 3 to 5 p.m. Sunday, January 19th. It's at the Wigwam, 300 East Wigwam Boulevard, Litchfield Park. It's free. For more information, call 623-935-9040. The Wigwam is hosting the City of Litchfield Park's January Arts in the Park Concert. This month, Pebble Rock Band is performing on the resort's front lawn, bringing listeners back to the golden era of rock, beginning in the 1960s with a modern twist. The classic rock band is based out of Goodyear and performs throughout the Phoenix area. The free concert is one of many hosted by the city, sponsored by Cox. Drinks will be available for purchase, and outside alcohol is not permitted. Historic Avondale Cafecitos, Coffee with the Community, from 10 to 11:30 a.m. Tuesday, January 21st, at the Avondale Resource Center, 995 East Riley Drive, Avondale. It's free, and for more information, call avondaleconnect.org. The City of Avondale hosts a monthly coffee get-together for residents of its historic neighborhoods, Cashin, Las Ligas, Rio Vista, and Old Town. The historic Avondale Cafecitos event offers residents the chance to connect with one another and city staff. These regular coffee chats, the city's website states, are designed to inspire ideas on how to support these neighborhoods. A Trout Fishing Derby, from 7:30 a.m. to 3 p.m. on Saturday, January 25th, at the Tierra Verde Lake, 301 South Old Litchfield Road, Litchfield Park. It costs $15 to register, and for more information, go to litchfieldpark.gov. Litchfield Park is stocking Tierra Verde Lake with 750 pounds of rainbow trout for its annual Trout Fishing Derby on Saturday, January 25th. The Derby awards trophies by age group, as well as categories like largest trout caught, smallest trout caught, and most trout caught. There will also be opportunities to win raffle prizes. The event is split into two sessions and runs from 7:30 a.m. until 3 p.m. The morning session is already sold out. There will be no walk-up registration available, and overnight or pre-dawn camping is forbidden. Fishers will not need a city fishing permit to participate, but must bring their own poles and bait. Registration costs $15 and includes a 10-foot designated space with the purchase, allowing up to 4 people per space. During the Derby, fishing is restricted to 2 lines per person and no more than 1 hook per line. Spaces will be assigned in order of registration. Buckeye Days, from 9:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. Saturday, January 25th, at historic downtown Buckeye, Monroe Avenue, Buckeye. It's free. For more information, go to BuckeyeAZ.com. Put on your cowboy boots and go back in time as Buckeye Days brings history alive for modern-day cowboys. Originally known as Pioneer Days, according to the Buckeye Valley Museum, Buckeye Days started decades ago and now includes a parade, vendors, food, and additional festivities to celebrate the city's history. The parade kicks off at 9:30 a.m. and festivities start at 10:30 a.m. The Buckeye Valley Historical Society is hosting a chuck wagon cookout starting at 10 a.m., offering hamburger, chips, and drink for $8. All proceeds benefit the Buckeye Valley Museum. The Goodyear City Council meeting is at 5 p.m. Monday, January 27th at the Goodyear Civic Square Council Chambers, 1900 North Civic Square, Goodyear. It's free, and for more information, go to goodyearaz.gov. Members of the public can attend Goodyear City Council meetings in person or remotely through the city's YouTube channel. That was January West Valley Events. And now it's time to go to the Wickenburg Sun. Our first article from the January 8th weekly edition, Martinez Named Finance Director by Kirk McKnight, Editor. Effective January 6, 2025, Robert L. Martinez II was named the Town of Wickenburg's Finance Director. With over 12 years of experience in financial management and local government, Martinez brings a wealth of expertise and a strong commitment to fostering community relationships, said Town Grants and Public Information Administrator Kathleen Crutchfield. According to a town press release, Martinez previously served as the chief financial officer for Santa Fe Public Schools, managing a $460 million operating budget while building strong relationships within the community. In 2023, Martinez received the 40 Under 40 Top Business Leader Award from the Santa Fe Hispanic Chamber of Commerce, which, according to Crutchfield, recognized his dedication to leadership. Upon being accepted to the position, Martinez said, "My goals are to collectively and collaboratively work with the team, community, and elected officials in ensuring financial strategies align with the town's vision for sustainable growth. I am committed to transparency through my work at all levels and at all times." Among Martinez's talent is that of being an avid team roper, which, according to Crutchfield, reflects his passion for the Western lifestyle and the values that Wickenburg embodies. Former interim town manager Andy Granger said of Martinez, "Robert's extensive experience in financial planning and community engagement will be invaluable as we continue to implement responsible and innovative policies that support Wickenburg's growth. We are excited to welcome him and his family to our community." Martinez's credentials include receiving an MBA from Eastern New Mexico University and a Bachelor of Business Administration degree from New Mexico Highlands University. Being a licensed Level 2 school business official in New Mexico and serving on various boards and committees, which, according to Crutchfield, underscore his commitment to public service and community enhancement. That was Martinez Named Finance Director. Next, ASA Recognizes Remondini by Kirk McKnight, Editor. Last month, during the annual Arizona School Administrators, or ASA, conference held by the Arizona School Boards Association, or ASBA, Wickenburg resident Barbara Remondini was recognized as the ASA Superintendent of the Year for medium-sized school districts, that's 1,001 to 5,000 students. Remondini, who is in her fifth year as superintendent for Wickenburg Unified School District, or WUSD, found herself very humbled by the honor of being recognized in a category she described as having a huge number of schools. There are so many wonderful superintendents in this state, she said. I work with amazing colleagues I strive to be like. To be recognized is truly an honor. WUSD Executive Administrative Assistant to the Superintendent, Casey Guype, who notes the ASA's recognition reflects Remondini's exceptional service and commitment to education, said, as her secretary, I have had the privilege of witnessing firsthand the incredible dedication and passion she brings to our district each day. Dr. Remondini's commitment to the success of our students is unwavering. She consistently goes above and beyond, not just as a leader, but as a compassionate advocate for every child in our district. Dr. Remondini leads with a heart for our community, and it is this combination of dedication, compassion, and hard work that makes her deserving of this award. Before serving as superintendent, Remondini first started out as an elementary and middle school teacher and later as an assistant principal at Las Cruces, New Mexico. Coming over to Arizona, Remondini served as principal for an enormous middle school in Mesa before becoming an assistant superintendent in the Southeast Valley. Working a short time with school improvement and accreditation, Remondini went on to serve as Director of Human Resources for an elementary school district in the Phoenix area before arriving in the Wickenburg community she has served to this day. WUSD Governing Board President Joe Maglio said of Remondini, a little over 4 years ago, when we were in the process of selecting a new superintendent for our school district, we had several candidates who were invited back for a second interview. Dr. Remondini was in the mix. What put her over the top, for me, was her strong desire to advocate for all students and to do everything we can to provide the tools necessary for every student to get an education and graduate. She is invested in Wickenburg and loves our community. Describing Remondini's award as well-deserved, Maglio went on to say, I remain very proud of the work that she does for our district, and we are blessed that Dr. Remondini has signed a contract for another school year. Concurring with Maglio, WUSD Human Resources Coordinator Valerie Shumway, who nominated Remondini for the honor, said, I think another quality is her capacity and desire to develop relationships with the students and the staff. She wants to know them personally. I think that desire helps her to be an advocate for them and develop ideas that build and improve the district on many levels. Dr. Remondini has done an excellent job for WUSD, and we are pleased she was recognized for her dedication to our students and staff. Recognizing not only the district staff, but the governing board and the community itself, Remondini said, I'm very grateful to serve in Wickenburg. I'm grateful to the Wickenburg community, which supports our schools and keeps us moving forward. It makes my job easier. That was ASA Recognizes Remondini. Next, guitar master Jesse Cook returns to the Webb Center. Canadian guitar master Jesse Cook knows how to deliver an amazing live concert. Mixing flamenco-style music with everything from classical and jazz to zydeco, blues, and Brazilian samba, Jesse and his four-piece band promise a foot-stomping, hand-clapping night of Latin-infused, high-energy music. Experience it for yourself at the Del E. Webb Center for the Performing Arts on Saturday, February 1st at 7:30 p.m. An accomplished guitarist, composer, producer, and equally prolific filmmaker, Jesse Cook has evolved his talents to create experiences that delight audiences wherever they discover him, at home, in concert, online, or even at the 2006 Olympics. In Torino, both the Japanese and the Russian skaters competed using the same song. One of them won. I think I should have got bronze, Jesse jokes. No wonder Cook also quips that his music has had a way more interesting life than he's had. To date, Cook is humbled that his career includes thousands of concerts performed around the world, over 2 million albums sold, 700 million streams of his songs and counting, 5 PBS specials filmed, and a library of over 300 YouTube videos, including Cascada featuring Matt Selleck being filmed in Wickenburg's Vulture Peak during his February 2022 tour stop. Jesse and his extraordinary band of talented musicians, which include a bass, violin, drums, and a variety of percussion instruments, are looking forward to returning to the road, bringing their unique brand of rhythm and rumba to audiences across North America and beyond. Tickets for the Saturday, February 1st performance start at $45 for adults and $5 for youth 18 and under. They are on sale now at the Webb Center box office at 928-684-6624 or by visiting dewpac.org. Now we take a brief break to remind you that you're listening to Sun Sounds of Arizona, a 24-hour news and information service for people unable to read or hold print material due to a disability. And this is the West Valley News Digest. We now turn to news from the Glendale Independent. Our first story, new AG homicide unit focuses on Apache Junction, Glendale, Goodyear, cold cases. Posted on yourvalley.net, Glendale Independent. On January 10th, Phoenix, the Arizona Attorney General's office has created a cold case homicide unit that will work with local law enforcement agencies to examine unsolved cases with resources that may not be available on the local level. Attorney General Chris Mays on Thursday announced the creation of the unit, along with the 5 Arizona cold cases that will be its initial focus, including homicides in Glendale, Apache Junction, and Goodyear. Justice has no expiration date, Mays said. This is about more than solving crimes. It's providing justice for the victims and their families. Every cold case represents a life that mattered and a story that deserves to be told. Here are the initial cases. Melody Harrison. On August 6, 1992, the body of a young female was found in the desert area south of U.S. 60 and west of Idaho Road in Apache Junction. The victim was believed to be between 16 and 18 years of age. The victim at the time was wearing a Team Gear brand, size large t-shirt with soccer balls imprinted on the front and back. She was also wearing a pair of Levi denim cutoff shorts and a ring on her left ring finger. On October 26, 2023, utilizing the victim's DNA profile and familial DNA obtained by the Apache Junction Police Department, they were able to identify the female as 15-year-old Melody Harrison. She was reported as a missing juvenile on June 15, 1992. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Apache Junction Police Department. Victoria Lacey. At approximately 4:15 a.m. August 13, 2012, 25-year-old Victoria Lacey knocked on the door of a residence in the area of 47th Avenue and Orangewood in Glendale. She advised the residents that she had been stabbed a short distance away and needed help. The residents called 911. When officers and medics arrived, the victim was only able to identify her name and that she did not know who had stabbed her. A person delivering newspapers told detectives that around 3:30 a.m., he had been in the area and had observed 2 younger Hispanic males spray painting a vehicle in the area, but he had not seen the victim, and it was not known if they were involved in the stabbing. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Glendale Police Department. Leslie Good. In the evening of June 3, 2008, Goodyear police officers responded to a shooting at a residence in the area of North Litchfield Road and East Loma Linda Drive. Upon arrival, officers discovered 39-year-old Leslie Karen Good dead in her home from an apparent gunshot wound. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Goodyear Police Department. Sabino Lopez, on the night of June 9, 2018, Tolleson police officers responded to a shooting call in the area of 91st Avenue and West Garfield Street. Upon arrival, responding officers discovered 21-year-old Sabino Lopez in the street, bleeding from an apparent gunshot wound. He was treated and taken to a hospital where he later died. Officers learned he had been walking in the neighborhood when he was confronted by three males in a silver-colored SUV shortly before the shooting. The case is being investigated in partnership with the Tolleson Police Department. Diana Shawcroft and Jennifer Luth. They were last seen at a convenience store about 7 p.m. on May 24, 1996. The cashier later saw a man pull up in a blue pickup truck. The girls talked to the driver, got in the truck, and were driven away. 3 months later, in a remote area of Yavapai County, 100 miles north of Phoenix, human remains discovered were identified as the girls. Recently, new evidence has been discovered and will be analyzed. This case is being investigated in partnership with the Glendale Police Department. Anyone with information related to a cold case is urged to contact the Arizona Attorney General's office or silent witness with information. That was New AG Homicide Unit focuses on Apache Junction, Glendale, and Goodyear cold cases. Next, from YourValley.net Glendale Independent, NFL moves playoff game to Arizona after days of devastating wildfires in L.A. by Greg Beecham, the Associated Press, printed online January 9th. The NFL has moved the Rams' wild card playoff game against the Minnesota Vikings to Arizona after days of devastating wildfires in the Los Angeles area. The game will be played Monday night at State Farm Stadium, the home of the Arizona Cardinals, in suburban Glendale, Arizona. The league announced the decision Thursday, a few hours after yet another fire broke out in an area several miles from the Rams training complex in the Woodland Hills neighborhood. The Rams canceled the post-practice media availability for their players to allow everyone to get home quickly. Los Angeles has been besieged by multiple wildfires all week, following 2 days of extraordinary wind across the vast metropolitan area. While none of the fires is burning near SoFi Stadium in Inglewood, the NFL is moving the game amid concerns about air quality, the strain put on the community, and the possible demands on police and fire department personnel. The Rams and the Los Angeles Chargers both practiced outdoors this week, but were concerned about the air quality. A few hours before the Kenneth fire broke out west of the Rams training complex, Coach Sean McVay said he was optimistic the game could be played at SoFi Stadium as scheduled, while realizing uncertainty was unavoidable. "We would like to be able to play the game at home in front of our fans," McVay said. "That's the way that we're operating, but I can't control when that decision will be made. If it's not in L.A., then the game will still be played, and we've got to be able to get ready for that." Game relocations are very rare in the NFL, but not unprecedented. The league moved a Monday night regular season game between the Chargers and Dolphins from San Diego to Sun Devil Stadium in Tempe, Arizona, after wildfires in Southern California. The Rams had a Monday night game against Kansas City, relocated from Mexico City to Los Angeles in 2018 because of concerns about the playing surface at Azteca Stadium, and McVay cited that experience as part of his preparation for the uncertainty created this week. "You acknowledge these things, but you also want to make sure that how you can control making sure that you're doing the right things is preparing accordingly, while also being mindful that this is bigger than football, McVay said. If people you're directly involved with are affected, you're making sure you're tending to that first. That was NFL moves playoff game to Arizona after days of devastating wildfires in LA. Next, balance lessons return to St. Joseph's Westgate in Glendale. Posted on yourvalley.net, Glendale Independent, January 6th. St. Joseph's Westgate Hospital in Glendale will once again play host to a free 8-week A Matter of Balance class, which is free to the public. This is a weekly class that starts Friday, January 17th and continues through March 7th. All sessions will be from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. It helps with increasing independence and balance. A.T. Still University presents the course and students will lead the course. Each session will be from 2 to 4 p.m. Fridays in the hospital's first floor conference room and healing garden. St. Joseph's Westgate is at 7300 North 99th Avenue. Many older adults have concerns about falling, and A Matter of Balance is designed to manage falls and increase activity levels. Those who have fallen in their past or who have restricted activities because of falling concerns should look into this class. Those looking to improve balance, flexibility, and strength are also welcome. Participants will learn to view falls as controllable and set goals for increasing activity, make changes to reduce falls at home, exercise to increase strength and balance. Contact Tara Leatherwood at 602-406-0175 or tera.leatherwood@commonspirit.org for enrollment. Classes are limited to 15 participants. Now from the Peoria Independent. Rooks named Peoria Unified Board President. By Philip Haldeman, posted on yourvalley.net, Peoria Independent, January 10th. When the Peoria Unified School District Governing Board voted Heather Rooks president at their December 9th public meeting, the room of supporters cheered her selection. During the past 3 years, she had been voted down in this endeavor, but this year she was successful with the help of two newly elected board members who align with many of Rooks' beliefs, Janelle Bowles and Jeff Toby. Rooks thanked the public, parents, staff, administration, and Superintendent K.C. Summers. It's been an incredible, exhausting 4 years, but it has been eye-opening for sure, she said. I want to thank the rest of the board up here for what they are doing, because even though we don't agree on certain things, I do know that this is a lot to sit up here and have a commitment, putting in a lot of time, a lot of phone calls, a lot of hours spent. I appreciate your investment in that time, and I recognize it. I appreciate the trust in me for being a leader, and I will always remember my responsibility of what I said I would do 4 years ago. I won't waver. Initially, Becky Proudfit nominated herself for president, but the nomination failed 3-2, with Rooks, Bowles, and Toby dissenting. Bowles then motioned for Rooks to be president, and Toby seconded the motion. The motion passed 4-1, with governing board member Melissa Ewing dissenting. The board then moved to the election of clerk. Bowles nominated Toby for clerk, and Rooks seconded, and he was elected 4-1, with Ewing dissenting. At this announcement, the room also rang out with applause. It's an honor to be up here. It's definitely a different perspective sitting on this side of the dais than in the audience. The talent that we have up here, I mean, Peoria, you guys elected a great board, Toby said. In this theme of leading with excellence, that's what drives me in moving this district forward. Board president duties are, according to district policy, to preside over all meetings and conduct meetings in accordance with Arizona law and policies of the district, consult with the superintendent on the agenda for each meeting, encourage and maintain orderly and democratic participation, keep all discussions factual and on the subject at hand, and allow for full and complete exploration of each item of business according to district policy. In the absence of the president, the clerk shall assume the position temporarily and perform the functions of the president, according to district policy. The clerk also takes on other duties as needed by the governing board. These two seats are one-year terms. That was Rooks named Peoria Unified Board president. Our next news article, new on-demand shared ride service now available in Peoria. Posted online January 9th. Peoria recently launched a pilot program for an on-demand ride-share service called We Ride. This service offers trips to and from fixed points within a 10-minute walk to many central Peoria neighborhoods, with stops at shopping centers, recreation facilities, businesses, and community spaces. Most neighborhood stops can be found at a community neighborhood mailbox or a very short walk from your home. Currently, the We Ride program is being tested in a limited area of Peoria before potential future expansion. We Ride vehicles are ADA friendly and seat 4 to 8 passengers. Bike racks are available on all the vehicles. Children 4 years and younger must use a child safety seat. Children ages 5 to 7 or children who are less than 57 inches tall must use a booster seat. Adult fare is $2 per ride. Seniors over 60, veterans, disabled persons, and students pay $1 per ride. Children 5 years old and under ride free with a fare-paying passenger 16 years old or older. Fares can be paid using the app with a credit debit card or paid to the driver with exact cash, as no change can be given by the drivers. For more information, download the We Ride app, available in the Apple App Store and Google Play, or call 623-777-4330 or visit WeRideAZ.com. Our next news article from YourValley.net Peoria Independent. Peoria police investigate Glendale officer-involved shooting. Posted online January 10th. The Peoria Police Department has assumed the investigation into a Glendale Police Department officer-involved shooting that occurred Wednesday, January 9th, according to a news release. Just after 7 p.m., officers with the Glendale Police Department responded to a domestic violence call near 47th and Glendale Avenues. When officers arrived, they found a female victim who told officers she had been threatened by her ex-boyfriend and he had pointed a gun at her, the release said. The victim provided a description of her ex-boyfriend and a description of the truck he was driving when he left the scene before she called 911. Officers received information that the ex-boyfriend was in the neighborhood at 47th and Diana Avenues near Horizon Park. Officers went to Horizon Park and found the truck parked on Diana Avenue, along the north side of the park. Officers approached the truck and, due to dark window tint, could not see if anyone was inside. Officers were attempting to make verbal contact with any possible occupant of the truck when their attention was drawn to an individual sitting at a nearby gazebo within the park. Believing this man was the ex-boyfriend, officers gave verbal commands for the subject to raise his hands. The man did not comply with commands and made a movement toward his waistband. As a result, one Glendale officer fired at least one round, striking him. Officers rendered aid, and despite their efforts, the subject passed away from his injuries on scene. Following the shooting, officers approached the ex-boyfriend's truck and discovered the ex-boyfriend was lying down in the driver's seat with an apparent self-inflicted gunshot wound. With assistance from the fire department, officers rendered aid, and the ex-boyfriend was taken to a local hospital, where he later died from his injuries. The ex-boyfriend has been identified as a 23-year-old man from Glendale. During this investigation, detectives could determine no known connection between the ex-boyfriend and the subject at the park. The subject at the park has been identified as a 46-year-old transient male from Tucson. At this time, the subject's name will not be released until the next of kin has been notified. One handgun was recovered from inside the ex-boyfriend's vehicle. No firearm was located on the subject at the park. The officers involved were wearing their activated body-worn cameras. The Peoria Police Department will remain the lead investigating agency on this case. That was Peoria Police Investigate Glendale Officer Involved Shooting. Now from YourValley.net Surprise Independent, Surprise Library Group awards nearly $29,000 in school grants, posted online January 10th. The Friends of the Surprise Libraries has released the names of the educators in the local school districts who have received a combined total of $28,714.96 in school grants during 2024. Grants to support learning through literacy in the Surprise area schools became a mission of the organization in 2012. Since the organization began in 2003, nearly $457,000 has been awarded to schools and teachers submitting applications wishing to enhance classroom learning experiences through literacy. Grants are received and considered for approval at each monthly Board of Directors meeting. Materials are purchased by Friends of the Surprise Libraries and delivered to the schools. Grants are made possible by the sale of used books in the Friends Place Bookstore in the West Wing of the Surprise Regional Library Building on Bullard Avenue. Friends Place is operated and staffed by volunteers of the Friends of the Surprise Libraries, who have given 7,043 volunteer hours to keep the bookstore open in 2024. Materials requested in 2024 included books for classroom libraries to encourage reading for enjoyment, leveled readers and decodable readers for learning how to read, materials to enhance the process of learning to read, books to supplement the classroom curriculum, and books to help children express how they are feeling. The 2024 award recipients listed by school districts are as follows. Arizona Charter Academy teachers who requested books and learning materials received a total of $8,998.92, an increase of $2,577 over 2023. Participating teachers were S. Allen, C. Vigoroa, S. Habercorn, J. Henderson, G. Pridey, S. Uher, and B. Wernett. I am truly grateful for the work that Friends of the Surprise Libraries organization does, and my current students and hundreds more in the future will benefit greatly, said ACA third grade teacher Brandy Wernett. Dysart Unified School District teachers from four schools applied for and received grants in the amount of $7,135.62, an increase of $4,510 over last year. Teachers in their schools are H. Polk of Countryside Elementary, B. Zavala of Luke Elementary, A. Mayer of Rancho Gabriela Elementary, L. Salas and P. Zyman of West Point Elementary. Also receiving a grant was S. Rivera for the Dysart District ESS program. Natdeburg USD had the highest teacher participation in the grant program for the third year in a row. The district received a total of $12,580.42. Desert Oasis Elementary teachers J. Bewley, L. Dyer, L. Frazier, J. Lanson, R. Lopez, R. McKee, D. Meese, L. Phillips, and T. Schrader received grants totaling $10,862.61. Natterburg Elementary teachers R. Launt, M. McCarthy, and S. Morias received grants totaling $1,482.49. Counselor N. McMahon at the Natterburg School District received $235.32 for books on emotional regulation. The Friends of the Surprise Libraries is a 501c3 nonprofit organization supporting literacy improvements in the Northwest Valley. For information or to make a donation, visit friendsofthesurprisedlibraries.org. Our last news story, Sock and Blanket Drive Warms the Needy in Surprise. Posted on yourvalley.net, Surprise Independent, January 9th. Wired Fiber organized a holiday sock and blanket drive, resulting in the collection of 535 pairs of socks and 86 blankets in support of the Benevilla Home Services Program. The donations will be gifted to program members who are homebound older adults and adults with disabilities facing limited resources. Many of these individuals might not have otherwise received any gifts this past holiday season, making this initiative all the more impactful. Our home services program supports some of the most vulnerable members of our community, and the kindness shown by Wired Fiber and their customers reminds us of the power of community, said Joanne Byers, President and CEO of Benevilla. These contributions not only provide warmth, but also bring joy and a sense of connection to those we serve. Benevilla's home services program offers vital assistance, such as grocery shopping, transportation, and light handyman services to help individuals remain independent in their homes. The donated socks and blankets are expected to bring comfort to program members during the colder months while serving as a reminder that they are cared for and valued. For information about the Benevilla Home Services Program or ways to support its initiatives, visit benevilla.org, that's benevilla.org, or call 623-584-4999. And that concludes this week's edition of the West Valley News Digest. I'm Gayla, your volunteer reader. Please stay tuned for more great programming on Sun Sounds of Arizona.